Welcome to the Equestrian Business Podcast, the show that talks about business for equestrians. If you're an equestrian business owner who wants more revenue, more profit, and a better work-life balance in your business, and you're looking for dry, humid, no-nonsense business advice, you're in the right place. Whether you're just getting started or whether you've been in the equestrian game for decades, I'm going to give you the tools, the strategies, systems, techniques, and a splash of philosophy on what you can do to have more fun, a better work-life balance, and more money in your equestrian business. Hello, I'm your host, Rhiannon Amber, and welcome to the Equestrian Business Podcast. Today, I am joined by Sarah White. She used to be a jockey, and now she writes copy. Sarah's going to teach you how you can make your business more visible and get yourself out in front of your ideal clients. Let's jump straight in. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Equestrian Business Podcast. It is so great to have you. Would you mind just introducing yourself and telling everybody who you are and what it is that you do?
Hi, I'm Sarah, otherwise known as the Copy Jockey. So my business is an equine copywriter, and I help equestrian businesses with all their marketing words to help them get found on online searches, get more leads, and make more sales.
I absolutely love it. So, I mean, that's a bit of a job switch, isn't it? From jockey to copywriter. Like, how did that happen? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's been a process since I was little and riding horses in the UK where I grew up. I always just wanted to work with horses and ride horses. And I did for a long time. I had a stint at university in the middle. And then I came out of uni and I went back into horses, working in racing, riding at racing yards. I had my own horses. I would ride in jump races. And then I moved to New Zealand, where I am now with my now husband. Started a family, had some horses in New Zealand, didn't do anything too serious, just the local riding club. It got to a point where I didn't have time to go out to racing yards to ride racehorses. Because of the children. And I started to think, what else can I do that's working from home? Because it's too difficult to go out and ride racehorses at that time in the morning. It's too difficult physically, it's getting hard. So I sat down and thought about what else I could do. And I went back to actually proofreading and editing, because I was quite good at things like that at school, the sort of the English and the writing side of things. So I did a diploma in proofreading and editing, and I started my business, Pro Writings, doing that. And I had a lot of clients for proofreading reports and documents. I had a lot of some editing jobs. There was one lady, a client I had, she'd written a book. She's a life coach. So she'd written quite a substantial book, and I edited that, and I actually published it for her, self-published it for her. And yeah, she's selling a lot of copies of that. It's pretty cool. But I started to get more queries about whether I could write the content. So people were struggling to write the words on their website, or the words for their blogs, or the words for their social media posts. And I started to think, well, there's a lot of people here asking for this. Maybe I should look more into this. So that's what I did. I did quite a lot of work following various copywriters in Australia and the UK, even in America, and just learning the craft. And it's a lot of marketing. It's a lot of psychology, how to write the copy that sells. And again, SEO comes into that. So I went deep into SEO and did courses and studied it. And I just started to morph into a copywriter, and I started to get more and more clients for copywriting. And after a while, I thought I could just niche down here to equestrian businesses. Obviously, that's where my interest is. I know about the industry, and I love talking to horsey people and equine businesses. So that's what I did. The start of 2022, I think, I just niched into equine, and that's what I've done ever since that.
That sounds really similar to what I did. Like I qualified in all my horsey qualifications, and like everybody who left an equestrian college, I was like, oh my God, so I can now work on a yard from dumb o'clock in the morning till dumb o'clock at night, 6 days a week. And soon realized, you know, this life's not for me. So a huge part of what I do is inspiring younger generations who are studying equine, who want to work in the equine industry. That it doesn't mean that you have to stand and muck out stables all day every day. You can go into marketing, you can go into business, you can go into selling, you can go into whatever it is you want to go into. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to work directly with horses. So I absolutely love that your story is very, very similar to mine in that aspect, that we both also went away from horses and then actually was like, actually, we can tie this back. We know all about this industry. I'm very good at what I do, and I can tie in my skills together with something that I'm very, very interested in and very passionate about and using a skill set. So I think that's so important. And I also love that you've actually done the appropriate market research. You've had people asking you about it and you found the gap in the market before just jumping in. I think a problem that a lot of people have at the moment is they're so desperate to get away from the office job. They're so desperate to get away from that 9-5. They're so desperate to start their own equestrian business that they just kind of jump into it without much assessment of the market. Like, how many saddle pad brands have we seen popping up over the last year? How many people are now selling breeches and hybrid leggings and whatever, God knows else? Seems that everybody's just jumping into business, which I love. I'm also empowering everybody to jump into business, but without much of the back end research. So it's really, really cool that you've
That's right.
actually done all of that.
They always say if there's a lot of competition, that's great. It means there's a lot of demand for it. But you've still got to stand out and be different to your competition.
110%. Like, this is something that I'm so passionate about because everybody's jumping into business at the moment and they're creating content or they're creating adverts that look just like everybody else's advert. There's no flavor, there's no spice, there's no little bit of personality there. So how do you distinguish one brand from the other? I can only think of like three equestrian clothing brands that look massively different from everybody else's at the moment, or three saddle pad industries that look slightly different. And I'm guessing that's where you come in with the copy and helping people stand out with their marketing, helping them create content that is unique and different and positions them in a good place.
Yeah, definitely. That's the main selling point of what I do is going deep into people's overall message, I suppose, and their USP, what's unique about them. So they're not just saying, I'm a online saddle pad retailer, or I'm a body worker for horses. They have to drill down. Bring out what's different about them and get their messaging clear, something that's going to stand out above all the other noise on the internet online. And that's basically copy. It's very much psychology as well as words that sell. You've got to get that overriding message above everybody else's message to stand out.
And so you mentioned a little bit of like the, you mentioned a bit of sales psychology there. I am obsessed with sales psychology. So this is something that I'm going into in the masterclass that I'm currently designing at the moment, is it's not just saying, hi, I'm a physiotherapist, come work with me. It's about tapping into the feelings that your audience has. It's about tapping into the emotions to get the sales. Obviously, it's no secret the majority of the equestrian world is women, and we are very emotionally charged. We buy through that emotional connection. And if you can resonate with where your client is, you're going to get a so much better conversion rate. This is something that I'm literally like pouring all my time into at the moment, is learning all about this psychology. In fact, I've just made a hefty investment to go work with someone to learn more about sales psychology. And it's going so much deeper. So if you are a physiotherapist, you can tap into how your client's feeling. Maybe it's that their horse isn't working properly and they feel like people at the stables are gossiping about them because they can't get their horse in a proper outline. But maybe it's not their riding at all. Maybe it's because their horse is, I don't know, tight in the poll, stiff through the lumbar region, and they could do with some physio. And if you can tap into that emotion, you get just so much better results than saying, hi, I'm a physiotherapist. I charge £60 per hour. Come work with me.
That's right. It's all about, it's no secret really that it's all about knowing who your ideal client is. But it doesn't, knowing that doesn't make it any easier. So it is difficult to really get an idea who your ideal client is and then speak to them in their language. And it does take a lot of work, which it's difficult for people. They just want to write the words and put them up on their website, or they just want to post something on social media. But there's a lot to think about behind what you're actually writing. And your message is one of the most important things you can get right. So yeah, copywriting and copy and getting the right words out there to sell for you is so important.
I'm also a little bit conscious that we're being... It sounds like there's a monster in the background there. I don't know what happened. I'm really, really conscious that we're using quite a lot of like jargon and technical words that I think maybe the everyday equestrian business owner wouldn't perhaps be familiar with. So let's just cover some of them. Copy might be quite an alien word to some people. Explain to us what exactly is copy, please.
Yeah. So copy is basically words. So the words that are on the page, and it's slightly different to content. So people don't really know the difference between a copywriter and a content writer, and it doesn't really matter what out of your copywriter or your content writer. But copy are words. Put simply, copy is words that sell. So and content are words that provide interest and sorry, there's a clock going off in the background now. It must be 11 o'clock. So content is more your words that inform and interest, and copy are your words that sell.
Fantastic. So I think there's a couple of other words I'm trying to think of any. So leads, I think I'm really guilty of this one all the time. I say the word lead all the time. So just to clarify, a lead is a potential customer. It's someone who's aware of your business. They're perhaps in the market for what you do. They're definitely interested in what you do, but they just need a little bit of help to actually get them to convert into a paying customer. I'm trying to think of any more words that we've used. I think actually we've mentioned SEO a few times. What the fuck is SEO and why should equestrian business owners be interested in it? What's it going to do for them?
Yeah. There's, when I quiz people on, do you know about SEO? A lot of them don't, and they just stare blankly at you. So SEO is search engine optimization. So it means that is the process of optimizing or improving or enhancing your content or your copy, your words, basically. So they've got the highest chance, a higher chance of appearing online if somebody is doing an online search for something you may provide, or even something you offer, or something related to your business.
Okay, so I think a good example of that is, let's say you're a saddle fitter and you are in Cornwall. If someone Googles or searches saddle fitter in Cornwall, you want your Instagram account, your Facebook account, your website, your phone number, your Google page to come right at the top of those search results. It's that battle to be seen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And locations are great to have as keywords, so that you, when somebody is Googling or looking for something that you offer in their location, you appear in their searches. So so that's all about keywords, and that's the main factor of SEO. So yeah, it's just the process of whatever you offer and things, your website, I think LinkedIn page is a very good one. Your profile pops up in those searches. Even content you've written will pop up in searches if you've got your SEO on point.
Oh, don't call me out like that. I'm terrible at LinkedIn. I think I post like, I always say, like, I'm going to be really consistent with LinkedIn. And then, like, next thing I know, it's been 2 months since I've posted anything and I need to do better. So please don't call me out like that. But I think when we talk about SEO, like, for people who have heard of it, they obviously think of like search engine optimization. So they automatically think of Google. But SEO, when we think about it, obviously, a lot of people might not know this because they've not. They're more interested in, the horsey world and doing their actual job than all the techie, geeky stuff that we love. But SEO is now playing a huge part on platforms like TikTok. I know TikTok is, it uses a lot of keywords, doesn't it? So if you want to search a pasta recipe, if you type in Alfredo pasta, it's going to pull you loads and loads of recipes up. And even ones that haven't used like that direct hashtag, Instagram's definitely like coming that way. It's using a lot of keyword searches, a lot of like content searches. So it's not always directly Google related, is it? It can be all those other different platforms and how to appear first on those two.
Yeah, so it's Google, it's search engine optimization. So it's not Google optimization. So people just think of Google when you think of searching for something online, and that's the basic search. That's probably our number one search engine now. But there's you're calling me out on TikTok here. I don't use TikTok, but yes, even with Instagram, and definitely LinkedIn, you can have keywords in your bios. You can use keywords in your posts and hashtag keywords, and that's all optimizing your copy, your content, your words. Pinterest is actually like Google's little brother. Pinterest is a huge search engine, but people don't really think about it, or tend to use it so much. But you optimize your words there, and you mention keywords, and you have huge opportunities all over the internet. Wherever you're writing copy and words and content, you can optimize them, and it's search engine optimization, not Google.
Absolutely. I would say that Instagram is becoming a bit of a search engine. TikTok's definitely a search engine, whether you use it or not. I'm not a huge fan of TikTok. I find it's a more younger audience. So I don't overly use it, but I know that definitely, like, if I want to find something quickly, like, I use the example of a recipe because most of my recipe ideas come from TikTok, because you can just search like vegetable pasta bake and it's going to throw so many recipes in front of you with step-by-step instructions. Like TikTok, I think, will overtake Google as the go-to place for your information. In fact, they've even picked up on this actually. Like in the adverts for TikTok, they have like hashtag learn with TikTok and stuff like that, which is really cool. Instagram's definitely moving in a similar direction as well. So yeah, it's so many places that you wouldn't think of have become search engines. Like Reddit, I think, is definitely like one of those places where if you're Googling something about a film, a book, business, literally anything, there's going to be a Reddit thread about it. There's going to be an Instagram reel about it. There's going to be a TikTok about it. There's going to be a Pinterest post about it. So cool to be seen. I've got a question for you, actually. What would you say are the three biggest mistakes equine business owners are making as a whole in their marketing, in their copy, and in their search engine optimization?
Big question. So I think the main big mistake is I see so many websites, obviously. I do website audits, I help people write their websites. I help them make sure their websites are performing correctly, because a major part of SEO is actually the technical side of it, and how your website's performing, if it's loading fast, and if it's all set up correctly in the back end. So I do work through that with clients, although I'm not a web developer. I outsource that. I work with developers. But the main thing I see is the copy on people's, the words on people's websites, especially on the homepage when you jump in above the fold, before you start scrolling, is a prime place to optimize. And you need a You need your message right there. So when people jump in, first thing they see is that main message, and it's clear. It explains exactly who you are. It needs to say what you do, who you help, so your client, and why you're the best, basically. And people just don't use this area. They might say welcome, and they might say I'm welcome to my, going back to the saddle pad, my online saddle pad shop. And that's it. And that doesn't tell people anything. And those, that area on your website is the most important place to get your unique message across, to show your personality, and also to include your keywords. So I think that would probably be the biggest mistake I see people not utilizing their websites properly to benefit from them. Another one would be not writing blogs and ongoing marketing. We don't, blogs are traditionally written so that maybe family and friends far away could keep up with your travel adventures or something like that. But nowadays they're not. They're a huge tool in marketing, and they're a massive tool in SEO. They're like another ticket in the SEO lottery. So you can write a blog and you can optimize it for your keywords, your keyword phrases, for what you would like to be known for, get found. And you can, that obviously is based on your website. So if your blog appears in someone's radar, they're automatically on your website. And that's where you then can collect them into your email list, or you can just keep them reading on your website. So blogs, not utilizing blogs and optimizing them, is another huge mistake I see people making. And probably a third one, which I'm seeing a lot of at the minute. I don't quite know why, but I think it's as people become more aware of SEO, they turn to someone who can help them, so-called SEO experts or agencies. And there's a lot of them, good ones around, but it's often the ones that aren't so good are the ones that are the loudest on the internet, on online. They might approach people first and offer their services. So I'm seeing a lot of clients who have signed up with SEO agencies to help them with their SEO. But because people don't really know what SEO is, they just hand it over to these agencies. They just believe what they're told. So the agencies are saying, hand over your SEO to us. And the client does, without knowing what this means, they just hand over their money every month, and they're told that we'll help you rank higher or number one in search engine searches. And you can rank number one easily, but it would be for a completely random keyword phrase that nobody is ever looking for. But you're still ranking number one for it. So the client goes away quite happy that they've got a number one ranking, but it's not actually benefiting their business. And SEO, you can do SEO yourself. You don't need to be forking out hundreds and hundreds of dollars or pounds every month to an agency. It's just writing a blog, uploading it, making sure it's optimized. You can check your own data in Google Analytics or Google Search Console just to see if where your traffic's coming from, what traffic you're getting, if you're growing your traffic. It doesn't have to be big and scary and complicated, but it is to people because people don't really understand SEO. So I think the third thing I would say is people need to just maybe try and educate themselves a tiny bit and not hand over everything, their money and their trust and everything, to an agency which may have approached them and offered to do their SEO for them, because SEO it's not a set thing. It's not a right or wrong thing. It's SEO is just trial, error. Keep going, try something, just keep an eye on the data, keep putting content out there that's useful and for your ideal client. And it's not, you can't guarantee SEO is what I'm saying. And a lot of people tend to think they can. So they go searching for the expert, the agency, hand over all their money and their trust and expect miracles, really. So yeah, I would say those are the three main mistakes, although there's probably quite a few more.
So speaking directly
about context, obviously, like you say, a lot of people will throw all these things. They go, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's again, it's that marketing sweet spot, isn't it? Like these people who are offering these SEO services know that people don't know a huge amount about it. And they're using that leverage and that emotional manipulation. I'm going to call it manipulation because we all use it. And that's exactly what it is. They're using that to bring on board customers. So I think I absolutely agree with you. Like, you need to go out and you need to educate yourself on something. If you want to earn more money in business, my philosophy and everything that I do is if you want to earn more, you have to learn more. And it might seem scary and it might seem daunting, and you might be the kind of person who just, you hate technology. You don't even fully understand how to use Facebook. You don't understand how to use social media. But learning how to position yourself as that number one go-to expert, that number one go-to authority in whatever it is you do, from being a saddle fitter or a physio, is going to help you drastically. And even if you don't like it, just doing an hour's research a week or even 2 hours a week, just learning about something that you're not 100% on, is going to help you. There's so much free resources on YouTube, on Instagram, even on Sarah's page. You can learn so much about SEO from Sarah's page. Just follow the right people. Assess whether they're going to be really, really good at what they do or whether they're talking quite a bit of fluff. If you're not sure, reach out to them, ask them questions and see if they meet your needs, and learn as much as you can. But going back into it, what do you think? Because one of the things that I get told all the time from a lot of equestrian business owners is that they feel like their marketing efforts are just a massive flop. Like, they'll make a post, they think the advert looks really cool, it looks really good, they've got some good visuals in there, they think they've talked about some good topics, they post it out to the world, they share it to some Facebook groups, their mum shares it, their friends share it, whatever. And crickets. No one's buying. No one cares. No one's engaging with it. Why do you think that's happening? As someone who specializes in writing those words, what do you think is missing from that content?
I think that's a big problem for everybody, and everybody feels like that. There's Alexa going off. We write content and we think it's great. We put it out there. And like you said, crickets, nothing comes of it. We don't get all these leads and sales we were expecting. They don't come flooding in. And it can be very demoralizing and difficult. But I think it happens to everybody. You just have to go back a few steps, think what you're writing out there or putting out there and why, and who is it, who's it for. The main thing to think about for any marketing is for your ideal client. So who are your ideal clients, and what's their problem? What do they want? How can you help them? And you just have to speak to them in their language. And it might be that they are quietly following you, reading your content, digesting everything, but they're just not ready in that place yet. And marketing is just about keep going. And it's very difficult sometimes. I think we all think about, this isn't working, I'm going to give up, and why is it not working? But we just have to take a couple of steps back, reassess, go back to thinking about our client and what they want, and speak to them in their words, and keep putting the content out there. There's no magic answer or magic bullet for marketing or sales or anything. So I know everybody would love there to be, and I think we're all trying to find it, but it's not. And as long as you're speaking to your ideal client, as long as you're clear on who that client is and what their problem is and how you can solve it for them or help them, and your uniqueness, what you do the best, and develop your own tone of voice, develop your own brand, become well known for your brand and what you offer, then just keep putting content out there and just keep talking to people, because people will be listening. People will be taking note. You'll be helping people, but it just, everything just takes refinement, trial and error, suck it and see. And yeah, it's there's not a magic process that we can all just follow and immediately become huge successes. We're all becoming successful slowly but surely, helping people along the way. So yeah, it's a difficult one, but everybody feels the same.
I think that's the key to it, isn't it? It's knowing that you're not in this position alone. The majority of people are experiencing this. Obviously, there is some people who can go viral overnight. They can get loads of likes, loads of followers, but that doesn't reflect their bank balance. You could have an audience of 200,000 people, but if your offer isn't good and your messaging is not good, you might only convert like 1% of them, if any. And just know that just because you're not getting loads of likes or loads of followers and loads of engagement, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your content. It just means that you've got to push it a little bit further. I used this example actually last night. Grammarly. Now, I am literally the typo queen. You can read any of my posts. It's going to be a typo. And I've seen it. And I thought, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm not rewriting the entire post. I'm just not doing it. But I know that I needed to use Grammarly for a hell of a long time. Like, Grammarly's been around for like, what, 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. I only picked up Grammarly about 10 months ago. And I've seen adverts for that thing like so many times. And I know it's exactly what I needed. I know it spoke to me personally. It just took me a while to convert to actually using it. And it's free. Like, just because you've put out one advert doesn't mean that everybody's going to rush to you. And like Sarah said, it's just about being consistent and keeping going. There is no point creating one post, creating one blog post, creating a podcast episode, creating your website copy, and then waiting an hour, waiting a day, waiting a week, and then going, oh, it's not worked. I'm not going to do it again. That is the wrong attitude to have. You want to have the attitude of, I'm going to keep going until I see results. And you want to monitor your performance. You want to monitor what's going on. Look at your posts on social media. Look at your insights. Look at your web traffic and see what's getting the best results. And then keep doing that. And it's all about continuously improving and staying consistent. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I love your example about Grammarly. You just expect to jump on Grammarly and snap it up, but yeah, if it took you so long, it's just one of those things. It's people just might not be in that position, or just might not think about that every day, or just aren't ready, or just never get around to it. But they're aware of it, and they know it's great, and it's on their radar. And then, like you finally jump in and.
Yeah, you stop, put it off, and like, you know what, I actually really need this thing. I've seen it consistently, I've seen it all the time, and now I want to use it. In fact, I think it was like one YouTube advert, and I was like, oh, sod it, I'll bloody download it, I do need it. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, oh, I need that, I'll download it later, but I'm busy now, or I'm watching this video now, or I'm chilling out now, and I've never actually used it. But because they stayed consistent, because they were constantly in front of me, I used it. Now, if I'd only seen one Grammarly advert years ago, there's not a chance that I would still remember it, that it exists, or care about it. It's because it was consistently put in front of me, consistently reminding me and be like, hi, you need this. That's what got me to convert in the end. And when you think about it, it's the same for a lot of things. Like, how many times do we see that there's a sale on somewhere and you're like, oh, I really want to do that. I don't know if I can treat myself yet. I don't know if I've got enough money. I'll wait till payday. If you got another reminder around payday to go onto your favorite clothing retailer and use their 20% off discount or whatever, you're more likely to convert than if they tell you it at the start of the month and you've got 4 weeks till payday. That little reminder makes you go, oh yeah, I wanted that. So it's that consistency, and it's keeping going, I always say. And please don't expect to see overnight results or instant results. They're not sustainable. Yes, you can go viral. That doesn't mean you're going to get sales. You wouldn't expect to go to the gym and see abs after doing 20 minutes of running on a treadmill and lifting some weights. So please don't expect to see the abs of your marketing world and the results and the sales if you've only made a couple of posts, or you've only been consistent for like a few weeks, or you're just at the very start of your journey and your marketing and learning all about it. You can't expect to see these results yet. You have to put in that work. You have to be consistent.
That's right. And I love seeing my clients or online businesses with email lists for that very reason, because that's where your audience is, your captive audience, your interested audience, and that's it's well known, but that's where the money is as well. Email lists, and I love helping my clients with creating lead magnets, which is basically a freebie to give people an incentive to sign up for your email list. So it might be a downloadable PDF, as simple as that, or it could be an ebook or anything. They can just will bring them quick value and be interesting to them, and then they're on your list, and that's where you can then go and speak to people, and you know that they're going to see it. Whereas when you're putting social media posts out there, not many people will see them. The algorithms might go against you. There's nothing you can do about that. Posts, you can optimize them and hope that people are finding them. But your email list is directly talking to your interested clients, your customers, people in your circle. So that's just another thing I always advocate for is let's get you an email list. Let's put something out there. If you're e-commerce, a 10% discount often works. But if you're a service-based business, just creating something that people can have, maybe a download, and they can have that, brings them a quick win, bit of help, bit of value, and they're on your list then. And that's, you can speak to them a lot easier than putting all this content out into the world and just hoping that it gets seen, because a lot of it's out of our control with algorithms. But our email list is something we can control.
And actually own as well. If you are generating leads on Instagram or Facebook and you lose access to your account for no reason other than Facebook's been a bit of a sausage today, you've lost your platform, you've lost your people, you've lost your audience. No one can take your email list away from you, especially if you're backing it up. I would suggest that you back it up at least once every 2 months if you have an email list. And if you don't have an email list, you should be generating one, because if not, you're using someone else's space to have your audience. And if someone takes that away from you, you're left with nothing. But no one can take away your email list. And if you're not 100% sure, because I don't think lead magnets are particularly huge in the equestrian space, I know there's a couple of businesses who are out and up there at the front giving away lead magnets. I can think of like a couple of horse trainers, a couple of riding instructors who are very big and prominent on Facebook and Instagram and have really good marketing strategy. But a lead magnet is something, for those who don't know, I'm going to be open and honest, I've got a few lead magnets. The fact that you can download I have a marketing guide. You can download my marketing guide. That's a lead magnet. It's something that you're interested in. I've touched to you. I've spoken to you about a problem that you're struggling with. And it's something that you're interested in. And you come onto my mailing list so that I can talk to you about all the different ways that I can help you. I'm not going to pretend that I don't do it. I will talk you through my marketing strategy and show you that it's the one that I'm using, and this is why it works. That's why I'm using it. In fact, even the free marketing masterclass that I'm doing is technically a lead magnet. It's something that you're interested in. It's something that I know you need help with. The fact that you've signed up for it, or if you do sign up for it, it shows me that I know what you're struggling with. So I know all the different ways that I can help you. I know which of my services to show you, which are going to be the most useful to you. And this is how it works. So if you're a physio or a saddle fitter, you could create a PDF or a free training video or a webinar about the different stretches that you can do to make your horse more supple and healthy. If you're a saddle fitter, you could be like the 5-point checklist to make sure that your saddle's fitting comfortably. If any of these aren't working, please contact a saddle fitter or contact me. And these are the kind of things that you can create. If you're a riding instructor, you might have the 3 best ways to fix your leg position. Do you find yourself bouncing in canter? It's probably to do with your hip angle. These are 3 exercises that you can do to stop that. And obviously it's going to resonate with people who have these problems, and they're going to download it. They're going to give you their email list. And all of a sudden you've got people who are so interested in what you do. That's why it's called a lead magnet, because it pulls in your ideal client towards you with the exact problem that you can help with. So just a little teaser for everybody, or to bust some jargon, that's exactly what a lead magnet is. And you should definitely be considering making one. If you are struggling to make one, you can reach out to either me or possibly Sarah, and we will be able to guide you in what you can do and what you can create to help you with that audience. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. We're all the same. We don't like to give our email addresses up because we get so much spam and so many emails. So what you're offering people has to be valuable to them and give them something to take away. And then your follow-up emails, obviously, don't spam people. Just give them value. Just give them what they need to know to help them with their problem. But they're far more likely to read them, and then they're in your circle than if you're just trying to contact them on Instagram or Facebook, which, yes, you could lose. And your website and your email lists you own, and you don't lose them. So definitely try and think of something that could give people an incentive to sign up, and just always ask people for their email addresses. Try to collect them, and then give them value, give them advice, give them help, tips, and use your email list.
Absolutely. So an email list is it's something that if you're not utilizing it, you're leaving money on the table. You really, really are. Because you literally have a group of people who've admitted and put their hand up that they need your help. So you can actually utilize that and step into these people's world, invite them into your world, invite them into your community, and talk about all the ways that you can help them. Forget this trying to look fancy, forget this trying to look professional, forget this, oh, that doesn't sound professional. I think I've sworn about three times in this podcast because it's just who I am. It's my brand. It shows through. In fact, I'm currently sat in a dressing gown right now because I've had a really lazy morning. I don't try to be professional. I don't try to be something that I'm not. Show up, build your community of people who are interested in what you're doing. Put your own spice into it, put your own personal seasoning into it, and then build up a group of these people on a mailing list where they. No one can take them away from you. You can't lose your account because you're like me and you say swear words too many times, so Instagram deletes your account. Build up a community of people, show them how you can help, show them that you relate to them, and you're going to have a much easier time getting some sales in. I'm quite conscious of the time that we've been waffling for quite a while now. Would you tell all the lovely listeners that if they're interested in anything that you've said, if it resonates with them and they feel like they need your help to make their website more visible, or they feel like their marketing copy's not strong enough, or they just don't know what to put on their website, they've had a website built and it's full of lorem ipsum text and they don't know what to put in it, how can they get in contact with you? And where can they find you if they want your help?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Facebook under the Copy Jockey. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Sarah White, the Copy Jockey. And my website is www.thecopyjockey.com. So nice and simple, and people can get hold of me on any of those platforms.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really, really helpful and really, really insightful. I aim to have this like edited and churned out in the same day because I'm quite quick at the editing. But yeah, it's been so great to have you today.
Thank you.
And
It's been awesome.
thank you so much for being with us.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome. If you've heard anything today that really connects with you, or if you feel a little bit lost with your marketing and you just don't know what content to put out to advertise your products and services, then do reach out to Sarah and I'll be dropping all of her links in the show notes for you. I also want to take this time to share with you something that I've created just for you, and it's completely free. I used to be in a place where I didn't know what to post to bring clients in. I'd share loads of tips and I'd be pretty consistent with my posting, but I still wasn't getting anywhere. I'd post in Facebook groups and I thought people would be queuing up to work with me, but I got nothing. And I had days where I was really motivated and days where I just wanted to post filler content to bridge the gaps when I had no ideas. But all of that has changed, and I now know what the secret tool is to creating marketing content that really hits close to home for the people that you want to work with, your ideal clients. So I've created a masterclass where I show you my KPI-driven five-step formula that is absolutely packed full of sales psychology and attraction marketing. If you want to learn how to create potent content that really speaks to the heart of your clients and your customers, and it makes you the go-to expert and the non-negotiable choice and pulls in the sales that you want, imagine being the physiotherapist that everybody wants to work with. Imagine being the saddle fitter that everybody recommends to their friends. Imagine being the riding instructor that people are so excited to work with because of the way that you have helped them. This is what my content strategy delivers, and I'm absolutely buzzing about it. It's got so much valuable content, and I'm convinced that you're going to get so much out of it. And here's the best part, it's completely free, just like I said. So if you want to save your seat at my webinar, it's about an hour long and will be kicking off on the 28th of July at 8 p.m. prompt. That's UK time for my overseas friends. I hope to see you there. The link is in the show notes, along with the details for how you can get in contact with our wonderful coffee jockey. You've been amazing for tuning in, and I'll catch up with you next week.